nor the Chome Company profits pouring down this rat hole, nor the court functions and affairs of state I've had to delay, even cancel, because of this stupid affair." The Baron lowered his gaze, frightened by the imperial anger. The delicacy of his position here, alone and dependent upon the convention and the dictum familia of the great houses, fretted him. "Does he mean to kill me?" the Baron asked himself. "He couldn't. Not with the other great houses waiting up there, aching for any excuse to gain from this upset on Arrakis." "Have you taken hostages?" the Emperor asked.
"It's useless, Majesty," the Baron said. "These mad Fremen hold a burial ceremony for every captive and act as though such a one were already dead."
"So?" the Emperor said.
And the Baron waited, glancing left and right at the metal walls of the Salamlik, thinking of the monstrous fan-metal tent around him. Such unlimited wealth it represented that even the Baron was awed.
"He brings pages," the Baron thought, "and useless court lackeys, his women and their companions, hairdressers, designers, everything. All the fringe parasites of the court, all here, fawning, slyly plotting, roughing it with the Emperor, here to watch him put an end to this affair, to make epigrams over the battles and idolize the wounded."
"Perhaps you've never sought the right kind of hostages," the Emperor said.
"He knows something," the Baron thought.
Fear sat like a stone in his stomach until he could hardly bear the thought of eating. Yet the feeling was like hunger, and he poised himself several times in his suspensors on the point of ordering food brought to him. But there was no one here to obey his summons.
"Do you have any idea who this Muad'Dib could be?" the Emperor asked. "One of the Amma, surely," the Baron said. "A Fremen fanatic, a religious adventurer. They crop up regularly on the fringes of civilization. Your Majesty knows this."
The Emperor glanced at his truthsayer, turned back to scowl at the Baron.
"And you have no other knowledge of this Muad'Dib?"
"A madman," the Baron said. "But all Fremen are a little mad."
"Mad? His people scream his name as they leap into battle. The women throw their babies at us and hurl themselves onto our knives to open a wedge for their men to attack us. They have no decency."
"As bad as that," the Emperor murmured, and his tone of derision did not escape the Baron.
"Tell me, my dear Baron, have you investigated the southern polar regions of Arrakis?"
The Baron stared up at the Emperor, shocked by the change of subject.
"But, well, you know, Your Majesty, the entire region is uninhabitable, open to wind and worm. There's not even any spice in those latitudes."
"You've had no reports from spice lighters that patches of greenery appear there?"
"There have always been such reports. Some were investigated long ago. A few plants were seen. Many thopters were lost. Much too costly, Your Majesty. It's a place where men cannot survive for long."
"So," the Emperor said.
He snapped his fingers and a door opened at his left behind the throne. Through the door came two Sardaukar herding a girl child who appeared to be about 4 years old. She wore a black abba, the hood thrown back to reveal the attachments of a stillsuit hanging free at her throat. Her eyes were Fremen blue, staring out of a soft, round face. She appeared completely unafraid, and there was a look to her stare that made the Baron feel uneasy for no reason he could explain. Even the old Bene Gesserit truthsayer drew back as the child passed and made a warding sign in her direction. The old witch obviously was shaken by the child's presence. The Emperor cleared his throat to speak, but the child spoke first, a thin voice with traces of a soft palate lisp, but clear nonetheless.
"So here he is," she said.
She advanced to the edge of the dais.
"He doesn't appear much, does he? One frightened old fat man, too weak to support his own flesh, without the help of suspensors."
It was such a totally unexpected statement from the mouth of a child that the Baron stared at her, speechless in spite of his anger.
"Is it a midget?" he asked himself.
"My dear Baron," the Emperor said, "become acquainted with the sister of Muad'Dib."
"The sister?"
The Baron shifted his attention to the Emperor.
"I do not understand." "I, too, sometimes err on the side of caution," the Emperor said. "It has been reported to me that your uninhabited South Polar regions exhibit evidence of human activity."
"But that's impossible," the Baron protested.
"The worms, their sand clear to the—" "These people seem able to avoid the worms," the Emperor said.
The child sat down on the dais beside the throne, dangled her feet over the edge, kicking them. There was such an air of sureness in the way she appraised her surroundings. The Baron stared at the kicking feet, the way they moved the black robe, the wink of sandals beneath the fabric.
"Unfortunately," the Emperor said,
I only sent in 5 troop carriers with a light attack force to pick up prisoners for questioning. We barely got away with 3 prisoners and 1 carrier. Mind you, Baron, my Sardaukar were almost overwhelmed by a force composed mostly of women, children, and old men. This child here was in command of one of the attacking groups. You see, Your Majesty, the Baron said, you see how they are?
I allowed myself to be captured, the child said. I did not want to face my brother and have to tell him that his son had been killed.
Only a handful of our men got away, the Emperor said. Got away! You hear that?
We'd have had them too, the child said, except for the flames.
My Sardaukar used the attitudinal jets on their carrier as flamethrowers, the Emperor said. A move of desperation, and the only thing that got them away with their 3 prisoners. Mark that, my dear Baron. Sardaukar forced to retreat in confusion from women and children and old men. We must attack in force, the Baron rasped. We must destroy every last vestige of silence, the Emperor roared. He pushed himself forward on his throne. Do not abuse my intelligence any longer. You stand there in your foolish innocence and...
Majesty, the old truthsayer said.
He waved her to silence.
You say you don't know about the activity we found, nor the fighting qualities of these superb people.
The Emperor lifted himself half off his throne.
What do you take me for, Baron?
The Baron took 2 backward steps, thinking,
It was Raban. He has done this to me. Raban has... And this fake dispute with Duke Leto, the Emperor purred, sinking back into his throne. How beautifully you maneuvered it. Majesty, the Baron pleaded. What are you... Silence!
The old Bene Gesserit put a hand on the Emperor's shoulder, leaned close to whisper in his ear. The child, seated on the dais, stopped kicking her feet, said,
Make him afraid some more, Saddam. I shouldn't enjoy this, but I find the pleasure impossible to suppress.
Quiet, child, the Emperor said.
He leaned forward, put a hand on her head, stared at the Baron.
Is it possible, Baron? Could you be as simple-minded as my truthsayer suggests? Do you not recognize this child, daughter of your ally, Duke Leto?
My father was never his ally, the child said. My father is dead, and this old Harkonnen beast has never seen me before.
The Baron was reduced to stupefied glaring. When he found his voice, it was only to rasp,
Who?
I am Alia, daughter of Duke Leto and the Lady Jessica, sister of Duke Paul Muad'Dib,
the child said. She pushed herself off the dais, dropped to the floor of the audience chamber.
My brother has promised to have your head atop his battle standard, and I think he shall.
Be hushed, child,
the Emperor said, and he sank back into his throne, hand to chin, studying the Baron.
I do not take the Emperor's orders, Alia said.
She turned, looked up at the old Reverend Mother.
She knows.
The Emperor glanced up at his truthsayer.
What does she mean?
That child is an abomination, the old woman said. Her mother deserves a punishment greater than anything in history. Death. It cannot come too quickly for that child, or for the one who spawned her.
The old woman pointed a finger at Alia.
Get out of my mind!
T.P.,
the Emperor whispered. He snapped his attention back to Alia.
By the Great Mother!
You don't understand, Majesty, the old woman said. Not telepathy. She's in my mind. She's like the ones before me, the ones who gave me their memories. She stands in my mind. She cannot be there, but she is.
What others?
The Emperor demanded.
What's this nonsense?
The old woman straightened, lowered her pointing hand.
I've said too much, but the fact remains that this child, who is not a child, must be destroyed. Long were we warned against such a one, and how to prevent such a birth, but one of our own has betrayed us.
You babble, old woman, Alia said. You don't know how it was, yet you rattle on like a purblind fool.
Alia closed her eyes, took a deep breath, and held it. The old Reverend Mother groaned and staggered. Alia opened her eyes.
That is how it was, she said. A cosmic accident, and you played your part in it.
The Reverend Mother held out both hands, palms pushing the air toward Alia.
What is happening here? The Emperor demanded. Child, can you truly project your thoughts into the mind of another?
That's not how it is at all, Alia said. Unless I'm born as you, I cannot think as you.
Kill her,
the old woman muttered, and clutched the back of the throne for support.
Kill her!
The sunken old eyes glared at Alia.
Silence,
the Emperor said, and he studied Alia.
Child, Can you communicate with your brother?
My brother knows I'm here, Alia said.
Can you tell him to surrender as the price of your life?
Alia smiled up at him with clear innocence.
I shall not do that, she said.
The Baron stumbled forward to stand beside Alia.
Majesty, he pleaded, I knew nothing of—
Interrupt me once more, Baron, the Emperor said, and you will lose the powers of interruption forever.
He kept his attention focused on Alia, studying her through slitted lids.
You will not, eh? Can you read in my mind what I'll do if you disobey me?
I've already said I cannot read minds, she said. But one doesn't need telepathy to read your intentions.
The Emperor scowled.
Child, your cause is hopeless. I have but to rally my forces and reduce this planet to—
It's not that simple, Alia said.
She looked at the two guildsmen.
Ask them.
It is not wise to go against my desires, the Emperor said. You should not deny me the least thing.
My brother comes now, Alia said. Even an emperor may tremble before Muad'Dib, for he has the strength of righteousness, and heaven smiles upon him.
The Emperor surged to his feet.
This play has gone far enough. I will take your brother and this planet and grind them to—
The room rumbled and shook around them. There came a sudden cascade of sand behind the throne, where the Hutment was coupled to the Emperor's ship. The abrupt flicker-tightening of skin pressure told of a wide-area shield being activated.
I told you, Alia said. My brother comes.
The Emperor stood in front of his throne, right hand pressed to right ear, the servo-receiver there chattering its report on the situation. The Baron moved two steps behind Alia. Sardaukar were leaping to positions at the doors.
We will fall back into space and reform, the Emperor said. Baron, my apologies. These madmen are attacking under cover of the storm. We will show them an Emperor's wrath, then.
He pointed at Alia.
Give her body to the storm.
As he spoke, Alia fled backward, feigning terror.
Let the storm have what it can take, she screamed,
and she backed into the Baron's arms.
I have her, Majesty, the Baron shouted. Shall I dispatch her now?
He hurled her to the floor, clutched his left arm.
I'm sorry, Grandfather, Alia said. You've met the Atreides Gamjabar.
She got to her feet, dropped a dark needle from her hand. The Baron fell back. His eyes bulged as he stared at a red slash on his left palm.
You...
He rolled sideways in his suspensors, a sagging mass of flesh supported inches off the floor with head lolling and mouth hanging open.
These people are insane, the Emperor snarled. Quick, into the ship! We'll purge this planet of every—
Something sparkled to his left. A roll of ball lightning bounced away from the wall there, crackled as it touched the metal floor. The smell of burned insulation swept through the Salamlik.
The shield! One of the Sardaukar officers shouted. The outer shield is down! They—
His words were drowned in a metallic roaring as the ship wall behind the Emperor trembled and rocked.
They've shot the nose off our ship, someone called.
Dust boiled through the room. Under its cover, Alia leaped up, ran toward the outer door. The Emperor whirled, motioned his people into an emergency door that swung open in the ship's side behind the throne. He flashed a hand signal to a Sardaukar officer leaping through the dust haze.
We will make our stand here, the Emperor ordered.
Another crash shook the Hutment. The double doors banged open at the far side of the chamber, admitting wind-blown sand and the sound of shouting. A small black-robed figure could be seen momentarily against the light. Alia, darting out to find a knife and, as befitted her Fremen training, to kill Harkonnen and Sardaukar wounded. House Sardaukar charged through a green-yellow haze toward the opening, weapons ready, forming an arc there to protect the Emperor's retreat.
Save yourself, sire! A Sardaukar officer shouted. Into the ship!
But the Emperor stood alone now on his dais, pointing toward the doors. A 40-meter section of the Hutment had been blasted away there, and the Salamlik's doors opened now onto drifting sand.